IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An Arab television network broadcast a purported audio tape by fugitive dictator Saddam Hussein on Sunday, exhorting Iraqis to wage holy war against occupying forces and warning of more deaths for U.S.-led troops. In the northern city of Mosul, U.S. soldiers retrieved wreckage and bodies after two Black Hawk helicopters collided and crashed under fire on Sunday, killing 17 soldiers in the bloodiest single incident for U.S. forces since they invaded Iraq. Another five U.S. soldiers were wounded in Mosul on Sunday when a roadside bomb was detonated as their convoy passed. The U.S. military fired a satellite-guided missile on Sunday for the first time since major combat was declared over on May 1st, targeting an island in a river in northern Iraq where U.S. officers said guerrillas had set up a training camp. Turkish officials were investigating claims that the Al-Qaeda terrorist network was responsible for the car bombings that devastated two Istanbul synagogues and killed 23 people, the prime minister said early Monday. Two Arabic-language newspapers received separate statements Sunday claiming Osama bin Laden's group was responsible for the bombings, which Turkish officials said were likely the work of suicide bombers who detonated explosives in pickup trucks. There was no way to independently confirm the authenticity of the claims. Louisiana Governor-elect Kathleen Blanco started piecing together a new administration on Sunday that will return Democrats to control of Louisiana government after 8 years of Republican rule. Blanco, the state's Democratic lieutenant governor, defeated conservative Indian American Bobby Jindal with 52% of the vote in a runoff election Saturday that dashed the Republican Party's hopes for a sweep of the Deep South. The win marks the first time a Democrat has been elected Louisiana governor since Governor Mike Foster was elected 8 years ago. More IE America news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
A medieval marquee has been set up in front of Buckingham Palace to welcome George W. Bush to London, and tourists called it a real eyesore. The two-domed tent made of wood, poles, and canvas took 3 days to erect, according to a policeman outside the palace. Canopy cupolas reminiscent of jousting tournaments and chivalrous knights top the platform, which has the royal coat of arms squashed between two emblems of the U.S. President's seal. Tourists visiting the palace were unanimous in their dislike of what they saw. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Honey, I have got just what you need.
I've heard that before.
No, it's DayQuil. It'll help your cold symptoms so you can get back your energy.
Really?
You could even go shopping.
Shopping.
Designer handbags are 90% off.
Yeah, because we're out of dog food.
DayQuil. The non-drowsy, stuffy head, sore throat, coughing, and aching fever help get back your energy. Medicine. Use it directed. And now it lasts 50% longer.
Where's George? Remember him? Mr. Smoke 'em Out, Mr. Bring 'em On, Mr. Top Gun, who pulled that stunt landing on the aircraft carrier, strutting for the cameras under a White House banner declaring, "Mission accomplished." But now that nearly twice as many soldiers have died in Iraq after they raised that banner than before it, and with coffins of our dead troops still coming home almost daily, where's the president who was so visible when sending troops off to war? The hard job is not sending them off, but seeing the boxes come home. Where's George in this hour of our national need? Bush has not attended the funeral of any American soldier killed in action in his war. We recently saw a photo op of him hugging a woman who had lost her house in the California wildfires, but he's simply been AWOL when it comes to appearing at the funerals of those shipped home from Iraq. His political henchmen say they don't want George to get mired down in the daily body counts. Even when 15 Americans died in a Chinook helicopter that was recently shot down in Iraq, not a peep from George. He stayed way out of sight at his ranchette in Crawford, Texas. The White House political Machiavellians think that if there's no presidential focus on the deadly price of the Iraqi occupation, the public won't notice that things are going very badly over there. Indeed, the Pentagon has even barred the media from covering the arrival of the coffins at the air base in Dover, Delaware. And the Pentagon also has stopped reporting the number of soldiers wounded in Iraq, as though if they don't report it, it's not happening. This is Jim Hightower saying, the White House warmongers have isolated themselves from the harsh pain of their ambitions for empire. But if the sons and daughters of Bush, Cheney, and the other warmongers were the ones coming home in boxes, then you'd see a sharp change in presidential attitude and in policy.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting also live on Sirius, satellite stream 145, and on the internet at radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and other internet stations. Our favorites, our terrestrial affiliates from coast to coast. Welcome back. I just got back from San Francisco, where I addressed on Saturday the Physicians for a National Single-Payer Healthcare Plan, www.pnhp.org. And it was a remarkable conference. I was speaking about the topic of my book on equal protection, the rise of corporate dominance and the theft of human rights, and how corporations are increasingly running the show, coming up with the agenda, you know, writing legislation, and that corporate power, corporate participation in politics is something that historically our founders would have found revolting, would have found illegal, did find illegal, and that has led to these bizarre situations where, you know, more than 61% of Americans want single-payer health care, and yet probably fewer than 3% of politicians are willing to even discuss the issue. Why? Because the health insurance industry and the medical insurance industry have so much cash and so much power that they are just terrifying these people. But some amazing statistics were presented over the weekend. And as we go into the week, we'll get into them in some detail. But just off the top of my head and from memory, we are spending now in the United States more on health care than any other nation in the world. And yet we do not have the highest or the best infant mortality rate. We're many, many nations surpass us. We do not have the longest lifespan. There's a half a dozen or a dozen nations that surpass us. We don't have the most healthy people. Even when you factor in all the other variables, like how many people smoke, how many people drink, how many people are obese, all those other things, in any way you slice it, the United States does not have the healthiest people, nor do we have the best healthcare system. And yet we are spending more on health care than any other nation in the world. Why? because we've got a bunch of corporations in the middle holding their hands out and saying, I'm going to take a piece of this pie, I'm going to take a piece of this pie, I'm going to take a little bit of that action. You got, you know, Senator Bill Frist, who, you know, built his hundreds of millions, his huge fortune by taking nonprofit hospitals for profit and then squeezing blood out of patients and selling it, metaphorically speaking, of course. You have health insurance companies taking 10, 15, 20, sometimes 25% of the money that you pay in premiums is going out as profits. It's going to pay CEOs up to, there was one CEO in the health insurance business who made $87 million last year in salary and compensation. Can you believe, it's just mind-boggling. And these guys are just going to fight to the bitter end to keep their hands in our pockets, or around our throat, or on our blood supply, or whatever metaphor would be appropriate. So anyhow, it was a fascinating conference, and I encourage you to check out Physicians for National Health Program, PNHP.org. Today, Monday, the 17th of November, is day 126, 126 days since Bob Novak, who was used by the Nixon administration back when he was good buddies with them to leak information that would harm enemies of the administration, leaked and outed the name of Valerie Plame, the wife of Joe Wilson, who, it turns out, was a CIA agent working in counterterrorism. An entire corporation had been set up all around the world, compromising many agents. We still don't know, because it's classified information, of course, how many people died as a result and how many ongoing investigations were compromised as a result of the traitor in the White House committing treason around this issue. But when George Bush was asked what he would do about it, his response was pretty unambiguous.
And I don't know if we're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, day 281 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Remember that? We're going to Iraq to get their weapons of mass destruction. Of course, we had all those inspectors, but the inspectors were just idiots. Don Rumsfeld knew exactly where they were. He could point them out on a map. Remember that? Good old Mr. Rumsfeld, such a bright fellow. Day 768. 768 days that the FBI has been looking for the person or persons who sent anthrax letters to only two members of Congress, the only two members of Congress who had the power to block the Patriot Act. Just as the Patriot Act was being considered, Senator Patrick Leahy, head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and Senator Tom you know what his name is. Having one of those senior moments. Anyhow, the head of the Senate Democrats, and poof, they end up with anthrax in their laps, or in their mail, and they have to move out of their offices 768 days, 793 days since our president declared that he was going to find Saddam Hussein, or Osama bin Laden, dead or alive. He was going to find that guy whose daddy was his daddy's business partner. He was going to find him. And, you know, we should have a lottery here going for what the October surprise is going to be for this administration. Of course, the obvious plan is that they're just going to raise so much money that they're going to carpet bomb the American people into believing whatever they have to say. But that's not the way that the Bush family has traditionally done it, or the Republicans basically have done it since Richard Nixon. The way that the Republicans have done it since Nixon, since 1960, although Nixon's 1960 attempt failed because of weather, but it was to have been the Bay of Pigs invasion. But the way that the Republicans have been doing it since the 1960s has been to always have a big event happen just a few months before the election that would cause the Democrats to look bad, you know, or that in the case of Jimmy Carter with the hostages in Iran and George Bush or proxies and cutting a deal. Okay, you guys hang on to the hostages until the election and we will sell you spare parts and weapons and missiles. after the election in violation of all international treaties and in violation of United States law. Remember that, the Iran-Contra deal? And Jimmy Carter went from being 8, 10, 12 points ahead in the polls to narrowly losing at the last minute because he was unsuccessful in bringing back those hostages. He had the nation praying. He had us putting out yellow ribbons. Well, anyhow, what's the October surprise going to be this year? I'm starting to think we should have a lottery. We should start a thread. In fact, if any of my listeners, feel free to start a thread on our message board. If you go to TomHartmann.com, spell it however you want to spell it, TomHartmann.com, and it will get you to, there are links to, number one, our chat room, where you can drop in on our live conversation that goes on while this program's on the air, the Tom Hartmann program here on the IE America Radio Network, brought to you, by the way, today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S, and the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. You will also find a link to our message board, where you'll find 25, 30,000 messages from thousands of people all over the planet. And we'll have to start a thread there. What's going to be the October surprise for this administration? Is it going to be that come August, September, October of 2004, they're going to suddenly discover the whereabouts of, and of course kill so they don't have to stand for trial, Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden? And then just, he took care of that, dust their hands off. I don't know. Time will tell. Anyhow, that's the day today, Monday the 17th. Our quote for the day, true individual freedom cannot exist. This is from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. True individual freedom cannot exist without economic security and independence. This is something that our parents and our grandparents understood. People who are hungry, Roosevelt said, and out of a job, are the stuff of which dictatorships are made, end quote. Our quote for the day. And if you think back, the United States and Germany both confronted the same Great Depression, and Germany chose to merge government with corporations, the Mussolini's definition of fascism, to identify a them, Middle Eastern group who found in their religion the seeds of terrorism, identify them as terrorists and go after them. Of course, rather than the Muslims, it was the Jews in Germany, but the parallels are to many increasingly startling in the way that government uses a them, an ethnic or a religious group, to scapegoat. And Germany then began to pursue a series of wars. They needed a little extra, they needed a little extra living room, Lebensraum. And so they annexed Austria. And then they needed to take back their historic lands along the border of Czechoslovakia, the Sudetenland. And on and on and on. Poland, they said, was firing at them across the border, so they had to defend themselves. Interesting, even Hitler didn't claim the right to preemptive war. Even Adolf Hitler said he was attacked first. But I digress. A lot of stuff in the news today. Lots of stuff in the news today. I want to get into this thing about President Bush and his trip to Europe tomorrow. In our second hour, I want to talk at some length about the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, FTAA. And, in fact, we're going to have on the president, the international president of the United Steelworkers Union, which is getting very involved with this. And I think that's going to be very interesting. Leo Gerard is going to be on the program briefly. If at any time, of course, you'd like to call, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Interesting piece in the Financial Times this weekend about Israel, which I think really tells us some lessons about Iraq. A lot of people don't get the connection between the two, but they see a connection between the two, but it's the conspiracy theory kind of connection. The connection I'm talking about is the best way to deal with a popular insurgency, to deal with unemployed people, to deal with people who are saying, hey, you're occupying my land, I don't have a job, I want things to get better, is the best way to go in with a tank and crush them? or is the best way to help them get a job? And this is the same issue that Israel is occupying and is facing in their lands and that we're facing in Iraq. I want to talk about that a little bit. And then get into this whole mess of this war in Iraq and Bush's trip to Europe. We'll continue with that. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman. The Weapons of Mass Deception.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free, 1-800-205-7067, or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067, or populist.com, or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Nah, I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a
expense account.
Yeah. What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins, because I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside. Punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I didn't fight for the Romans. I fought for the Christians in Greece. When Christians turned into crusaders, I prayed for the tribes to decrease. And I didn't fight for the Spanish, French, Portuguese, or Dutch. When their ships sailed into the Indies, I said, look, but do not touch. And I didn't fight for the English when the colonies had to go. But I have to say, the very next day, I was fighting for Geronimo.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman, the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. I should say, not powered by... At one time, I could have said the nation's largest nationally syndicated noon to three talk show that's not powered by OxyContin. I guess today we can't say that any longer. We're not going to go there, though. That's a cheap shot. Anyhow, Europeans recently ranked George Bush number two. Get this. Number two, George Bush was ranked number two by 60% of Britons. This is quite a distinguished, you know, position here. Number two behind Kim Jong-il of North Korea. As among the 191 nations and thousands of people on the planet Earth, millions, billions of people on the planet Earth, as the number two threat to peace in the world, George W. Bush, according to 60% of those polled in Great Britain. This comes at the same time that the United Press International reports that the number of total casualties, now this is American casualties, in the war in Iraq, remember the total death toll in the 9/11 was 2,700 and change, let's say 3,000, and that Iraq had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11, but nonetheless, for comparison purposes, the total number of American casualties injured and killed has now surpassed 9,000. 9,000 of our young men and women have either died or lost arms, legs, eyes. The U.S. death toll in Iraq has surpassed the number of American soldiers killed during the first 3 years of the Vietnam War. And that's the first three official years after the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. That was not during the, you know, when Kennedy was sending in advisors. This is after LBJ actually said, yes, this is a war. Remarkable stuff. Remarkable stuff. Just a little digression here, and we'll get back to this topic of Bush and Blair in England. I've got a little sound clip for you here. But the energy bill, the GOP energy bill, this is from the Knight Ridder newspapers, utilities, oil companies stand to benefit from GOP energy bill. Well, surprise, surprise. I mean, you know, the grand old party is, you know, we should rename it the grasping old party. They're grasping at everything corporate. Corporations have money, corporate. Hey, come on in. Yes, indeed. Electric utilities, especially southeastern ones, and oil companies that make a gasoline additive that taints drinking water are some of the biggest winners in the new energy bill that Republican leadership released Saturday. This in yesterday's Knight Ridder newspapers. Oil and gas companies are thought to be huge recipients of massive tax breaks worth about $22 billion. But that part of the energy deal was not made public late Saturday afternoon. Isn't this strange? I mean, it's our business they're doing. It's our government. And it's our tax dollars that they're giving away to these oil and gas companies. But they chose not to make it so public. The MTBE manufacturers, this gasoline additive, they're going to get $2 billion. And it goes on and on. The corruption of this administration is absolutely mind-boggling. What can we do about it? We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE American Radio Network. We will be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The octopus is well known for its eight arms, and now it's drawing more attention for the extent of its intelligence. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have long assumed that animals that are very different from human beings are not likely to show high levels of intelligence, but they're finding that the octopus has a pretty good head on its many shoulders. Jennifer Mather is a comparative psychologist at the University of Lethbridge in Alberta, Canada. She and other scientists studied the octopus to learn more about the nature of intelligence in the animal world. Mather says many scientists have been surprised to find that octopuses can find their way through mazes and solve other problems.
They're also good at very simple manipulation things, like taking the lid off a jar because there's a crab hiding inside the jar and they want to get at it. And that kind of thing has been suggested to be intelligence as well.
Mather suspects the octopus might be able to recognize individual people and maybe even hold a grudge. She recalls a time when she saw an octopus in a laboratory opening the lid of its tank, possibly trying to escape.
So I took my hand and I banged hard on the lid and it came down and knocked the octopus back into its tank. And I came back the next day, sat down on the stool. The octopus lifted the lid just far enough, aimed the siphon, and jetted a jet of water at me. And I thought, he's out to get me now. He knows I did it, and he's going to get me when I come back. And in fact, the animal repeated that several times. So that octopus probably figured out that I was bad trouble for it, and it was going to be bad trouble for me.
The octopus is a mollusk, which makes it related to clams, snails, and oysters. Mather says the brain power of the octopus shows that advanced intelligence can evolve in animals that are very different from human beings. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylor Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williamson. I hope you will join me for Friday's show. My guest is Dr. Cynthia Jacobs-Carter. She's the author of Africana Woman, Her Story Through Time. Let's have a marvelous conversation about the past, the present, and the future of a magnificent group of women.
All day, all night, Marianne, down by the seaside, sipping sand.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
By the light of the moon, from the night, hold the secrets of the sleepy lagoon. I contemplate in the light on the water when I'm walking with you. On the evening in June.
Talk radio for the rest of us. Oh, isn't Van Morrison brilliant? Great bumper music there. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Utilities, I just wanted to wrap this thing up with the utilities. The makers of MTBE, an additive designed to make gasoline burn cleaner but has ended up tainting public water supplies around the country, would benefit from a nearly unprecedented ban on product liability lawsuits. In other words, If you or your community are harmed by this stuff that they put in gasoline that leaks into the groundwater when gas tanks start leaking, and it's not bad enough that a little gasoline gets into the water table, that's actually fairly easily handled by the, you know, bacteria and binding up with rocks and just plain old dilution. But MTBE has this incredible ability to distribute itself across the water supply. And it is very toxic to human beings in very low doses. Which raises the question, why is it in the gasoline that's coming, you know, the unburned gasoline comes out of tailpipes all the time. We're inhaling it anyway. But it, with regard to the public water supplies, there are right now over $100 million worth of lawsuits pending against the manufacturers of MTBE by states, counties, towns, and individuals claiming that this chemical has made their water deadly or dangerous or undrinkable. And under this bill, the legislation would protect those companies, those being the companies that make the MTBE, from product liability lawsuits filed after September 5th, which includes a massive one from the state of New Hampshire and more than 20 other suits filed since September 30th. Almost all of this additive, all of these additives, by the way, are made in Texas and Louisiana, where three powerful House members who crafted the bill live. Isn't that sweet? Is Blair going to drop Bush after this week? That's actually our question for the hour. Is Tony Blair going to say to George Bush, hey, enough of this stuff. 60% of Britons think that George Bush is more of a threat to world peace than Osama bin Laden. I mean, do you get that? 60% of Britons think that George Bush is a greater threat to world peace than is Osama bin Laden? Yeah, Osama bin Laden's a criminal, but... Whew. Former security heads say Israel faces disaster. This from the weekend edition of the Financial Times. I found this quite interesting, and I think that this should give us all some pause for thought. Because one of the things that the Republicans in particular have gotten good at ever since the late 70s and early 80s, when the Scaife fortune and the Coors fortune started funding think tanks, and they started realizing that there is power in language and how you use language, and even the as far as I can tell, the Center for American Progress hasn't really devoted somebody to this. I mean, the think tanks on the left haven't really figured this out. I learned this stuff years ago when I first studied neurolinguistic programming. I was the director of a community for abused kids, and one of our psychologists there was an expert in NLP. Louise and I ended up taking a course on it. I took a training in London with Richard Bandler, became licensed as an NLP trainer. And one of the things you learn is that there's this thing called a frame. This is a basic concept in NLP. In fact, I wrote a bunch of books about ADD trying to redefine the frame, saying instead of these kids have a brain disease, to say these kids are hunters in a farmer's world. That's an example of reframing. Well, Bush is trying to frame this whole thing in Iraq as, do we stay the course and stand tough, or do we cut and run? Now, given those two choices, you know, it's a slam dunk. But, of course, those aren't the only two choices. And, in fact, those words don't even describe those two options. But the cons have gotten so good at framing tax relief. Consider that for a minute. Relief means the opposite of oppression. It must mean that the taxes are oppressing. It completely gets away from the fact that there are dues that we pay for the society in which we live. That there's all kinds of cool stuff in this world that is a consequence of us getting together as we the people and saying, hey, we'd like to have this stuff. We'd like to have roads that actually get, well, like here in Vermont, I'm looking out at a foot of snow right now. We'd like to have the roads plowed. We'd like to know that our streetlights work. We'd like to have fire departments that come if there's a problem. We'd like to have a police department that does its job, that tracks down criminals. We would like to have a civil society in which we live. We'd like to know that those among us who are least able to care for themselves can find care rather than simply dying in the streets because they have some kind of injury that renders them quadriplegic or they're incapable of working for physical or mental reasons. We'd like to know that. And we're perfectly willing to pay the dues for that. We don't need relief from that. We need relief from the cons who want to give $18 billion of our tax dollars to the oil and gas companies and the nuclear industry and the makers of MTBE. But anyhow, there's this framing. And this framing of do we cut and run or do we stand tall and stay with this thing? I just want to share with you just a little clip out of this article. This is from the front page of yesterday's, or over the weekend, they do one edition on the weekend, of the Financial Times of London. Four former, and the headline is, former security heads say Israel faces disaster. And what they did was they interviewed several of the former leaders of Israel's equivalent of their kind of combined FBI and CIA. It's called Shin Bet. And it's the Israeli Security Service. Four former heads of Israel's Shin Bet Security Service yesterday made an unprecedented attack on the Sharon government's policies towards the Palestinians. They said Israel was headed for catastrophe unless the government switched course to reach a peace with the Palestinians. And they talk about which newspaper it was in, and it followed a recent criticism by Moshe Yaalon, the Israeli army chief, who said that the crackdown in the occupied territories was against Israel's strategic interest because it fostered militancy. Now, think about that for a minute. I mean, look at what happened in the United States in the 1770s when England decided to crack down on us. Look at what happens all around the world. Look at all of these guerrilla and insurgency movements all over, you know, in South America and Southeast Asia. Many of them are really nasty people with horrible agendas, but the reality is that when you crack down on a group and civilians get in the way, and that's the key, and that more often than not is the case. When you crack down on a group and civilians get in the way, you lose the popular support of the civilians, and it really and truly does take 1,000 civilians doing nothing but agreeing with an insurgent or a revolutionary or a terrorist or whatever you want to call them for that person to be able to function in a society. If only 8 or 10 people agree with them, it's just a relatively short period of time before they get turned in and nailed. But the reason why we're having such a hard time finding these people in Iraq, and the reason why the Israelis are having such a hard time in Palestine, tracking down the Palestinians, is because the consequences of the way that they're going about these things, and the consequences of the way that we're going about this thing, this declaration of war, is harming civilians. It's harming the average people. And the average people are therefore not getting with the program. The article continues, "We are heading downhill toward a near catastrophe," says Yaakov Peri, who was head of Shin Bet from 1985 to 1998. I'm sorry, 1995 to 1998. "If nothing happens and we go on living by the sword, we will continue to wallow in the mud and destroy ourselves." End quote. Avram Shalom, who led the service from 1980 to 1986, he said, "We have to admit that there is another side, and it has feelings and sufferings, and we are behaving disgracefully." And these are not anti-Israeli wackos. These are the former heads of Shin Bet, the Israeli Security Service, their CIA and FBI. Carmi Gillen, who left Shin Bet in 1996, accused Mr. Sharon's government of short-sightedness, quote, It is dealing solely with the question of how to prevent the next terrorist attack, he said. It ignores the question of how we get out of the mess we find ourselves in today. And I would suggest to you, of course, this is a very real problem and issue for Israel. And I wish them the best in getting out, in working their way out of it. And I think it's a very similar to the issue that we're facing in Iraq. Very similar to the issue that we're facing in Iraq. And the folks in England, which brings me back around to, will Blair drop Bush after this week, the question of this hour, and that we'll get into a little more later on in the program, is that in England, they have been through this. They went through it with the IRA. And they figured out that when you just go in and you shoot people and you blow up their houses and you bulldoze and you build walls. And I remember driving around in Northern Ireland 15, 20 years ago with a tank behind me, with my kids in the car. We said, oh, let's go into Ulster and let's check this out, right? We're driving through one of these neighborhoods and suddenly we've got a tank following us with a turret pointed at us. With a loudspeaker going, what are you doing in this neighborhood? And it's a residential neighborhood. This is not how to win the hearts and minds of people. And the British figured this out. And they're cleaning up their act and they're getting it together. They got it together with India. They've retreated from empire across Africa. They did it in an unseemly fashion in some areas. In Uganda, well, I was in Uganda in 1980 during the War of Liberation against when the Tanzanians came in and threw out Idi Amin. And, of course, that was in large part because, as I recall, it was 1965. The British just said to the Ugandans, okay, see you later, and just cut and ran and provided for no transition. And that's another question that I wanted to get into in this hour. Are we fixing to do the same thing in Iraq? I predict we are. We won't call it that, but it'll be something very similar to that. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number 1-800-825-5937. And Armin in Florida is on the line. Hey, Armin, how's life today down there in Florida?
Well, it's quite warm. It's probably about 80-plus degrees and...
Oh, that's
bright,
nice.
Sunny skies.
Yeah, we've got a beautiful sunny day here in Vermont, but it's, let me check here, it's 34 degrees. So I guess we'll see a little snow melting. Go out. Nice day for a walk. Anyhow, what's on your mind?
Well, I was thinking, and I don't know, it may be completely obvious to the audience that you have, but as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, that W wouldn't even be there if we had a really... honest and forthright, quote, news media instead of a corporate propaganda ministry as a whole.
Well, Armin, do you think it's a corporate propaganda ministry, or do you think it's just the, that we've gone for infotainment? I mean, this seems to be the thing that Walter Cronkite has been editorializing a lot about lately, that we've abrogated the sacred obligation that Thomas Jefferson talked about so much, and de Tocqueville and so on, of news as behind its own firewall. And CBS, I think, was the first corporation to say that they were going to drop that barrier between their entertainment division and their news division and let them work together. And so now we've got infotainment, and it's all about ratings and stuff. Don't you think that's a larger problem?
I think that's a nice sales pitch, and it's a method to give some cover to the corporation CEOs, possibly, but I'm not buying into it. Absolutely not, even a little bit, because, you know, the common people that are the most affected by policies and politics and information, they're not up there, the producers and the directors that say what goes on and what doesn't and what gets concealed and what doesn't. And then you hear the story, well, Hollywood, their big sales pitch is, we only give the people what they want. Well, that's a lie, in my opinion, too. Because if that was really the case, what are they saying? They're incompetent? Because look at all the economic failures they have in their productions of movies and things that people obviously don't want.
But you're not suggesting that they did those intentionally, that they screwed up intentionally.
They can't have it both ways. What I'm saying is they can't sit there and say that their honest intentions are to give the people what they really truly want as a society and as a whole. and then come out with the failures that they come with economically to the magnitude that they do. You know,
I think there's a lot of trial and error in entertainment, and the problem is that now news has become infotainment, and so now we're seeing trial and error in news. You know, which is going to draw the bigger ratings, Kobe Bryant or Joe Wilson's wife being outed? You know, which is more important to the nation, treason or a rape case? Which is going to draw the larger, you know, more titillation, more interest in the part of the viewers? And I think this is a real problem. Although I agree with you with Fox News in particular, there is a corporate agenda there. I'm not so sure that there is with the others, but maybe I'm naive. Armin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights. She said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've been talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, let me just...
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
National Corporation don't want you to know. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Oh, boy. You remember George Bush speaking before Parliament in Australia a few weeks back?
Today, Saddam's regime is gone.
Had this little incident.
And no one.
Senator Brown, I warn you. Senator Brown will excuse himself.
Things getting a little out of control.
Senator Brown will excuse himself from the House.
Well, it turns out...
We'll remove Senator Brown from the House.
That the Bushies decided that they don't want to see this kind of thing happen in the House of Lords in the United Kingdom. And, of course, the last official state visit... Reagan went over and went horseback riding with the Queen, but the last official state visit between the President of the United States and... the United Kingdom, according to the Guardian of London, was in 1918 when President Woodrow Wilson, at the end of World War I, did a tour of London and his path was strewn with roses. Can you imagine driving down the street in an open, or probably being pulled in a horsebound carriage, but 1918, one or the other anyhow, and people were throwing rose petals in front of him. And... this article in the Guardian. The British government says in public it is delighted George Bush is visiting Britain next week. Tony Blair encapsulated this in a speech last Monday when he said, I believe this is exactly the right time for him to come. One Downing Street insider, however, says, that man seems to cause us no end of trouble, doesn't he? Whether it's the Kyoto Accord, the fact that we're holding 9 Brits in Guantanamo and refuse to let them even talk to lawyers, this mess in Iraq, the steel tariffs... to quote The Guardian, one official described it as the trip from hell. Well, they go on to say when preparations were being made months ago, the expectation in Washington had been that it would be a victory trip, but it hasn't turned out that way. So, the question is whether Mr. Blair wants to retain the relationship or whether it would be expedient to put some distance between himself and Mr. Bush once this week is out of the way. I think the interesting story here is not going to be what happens this week. It's going to be what happens next week. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con in conservative.
Real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational, and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Louisiana Governor-elect Kathleen Blanco started piecing together a new administration on Sunday that will return Democrats to control of Louisiana government after 8 years of Republican rule. Blanco, the state's Democratic lieutenant governor, defeated conservative Indian American Bobby Jindal with 52% of the vote in a runoff election Saturday that dashed the Republican Party's hopes for a sweep of the Deep South. The win marks the first time a Democrat has been elected Louisiana governor since Governor Mike Foster was elected 8 years ago. Turkish officials were investigating claims that the Al-Qaeda terrorist network was responsible for the car bombings that devastated two Istanbul synagogues and killed 23 people, the prime minister said early Monday. Two Arabic language newspapers received separate statements Sunday claiming Osama bin Laden's group was responsible for the bombings, which Turkish officials said were likely the work of suicide bombers who detonated explosives in pickup trucks. There was no way to independently confirm the authenticity of the claims. An Arab television network broadcast a purported audio tape by fugitive dictator Saddam Hussein on Sunday, exhorting Iraqis to wage holy war against occupying forces and warning of more deaths for U.S.-led troops. In the northern city of Mosul, U.S. soldiers retrieved wreckage and bodies after two Black Hawk helicopters collided and crashed under fire on Sunday, killing 17 soldiers in the bloodiest single incident for U.S. forces since they invaded Iraq. Another five U.S. soldiers were wounded in Mosul on Sunday when a roadside bomb was detonated as their convoy passed. The U.S. military fired a satellite-guided missile on Sunday for the first time since major combat was declared over on May 1st, targeting an island in a river in northern Iraq where U.S. officers said guerrillas had set up a training camp. More IE America news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org. Or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NAT-PARK. There's just too much to lose.
Just figuring out how thieves were able to make off with a painting as long as a sport utility vehicle has been tough enough, but Portland police are finding clues even harder to come by. The 117-year-old Russian painting, the first major art theft to be reported in Portland since 2000, was valued at $80,000 but was not insured. The painting was not hanging on the wall, but was stacked behind another painting, and more expensive paintings hanging throughout the gallery were not touched. The thieves left through the front door, which they pried open with a crowbar. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This is incredible. People everywhere are discovering they have 24 hours to live. With one pill a day, that's 24 hours to live without frequent heartburn. Yes, it's possible with Prilosec OTC. One pill a day can relieve heartburn for 24 hours. Holy moly, you could have zero heartburn. So, folks, get out there, because without frequent heartburn, you could have 24 hours to live it up.
One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days for frequent heartburn.
Where's George? Remember him? Mr. Smoke 'em Out, Mr. Bring 'em On, Mr. Top Gun, who pulled that stunt landing on the aircraft carrier, strutting for the cameras under a White House banner declaring, "Mission accomplished." But now that nearly twice as many soldiers have died in Iraq after they raised that banner than before it, and with coffins of our dead troops still coming home almost daily, where's the president who was so visible when sending troops off to war? The hard job is not sending them off, but seeing the boxes come home. Where's George in this hour of our national need? Bush has not attended the funeral of any American soldier killed in action in his war. We recently saw a photo op of him hugging a woman who had lost her house in the California wildfires, but he's simply been AWOL when it comes to appearing at the funerals of those shipped home from Iraq. His political henchmen say they don't want George to get mired down in the daily body counts. Even when 15 Americans died in a Chinook helicopter that was recently shot down in Iraq, not a peep from George. He stayed way out of sight at his ranchette in Crawford, Texas. The White House political Machiavellians think that if there's no presidential focus on the deadly price of the Iraqi occupation, the public won't notice that things are going very badly over there. Indeed, the Pentagon has even barred the media from covering the arrival of the coffins at the air base in Dover, Delaware. And the Pentagon also has stopped reporting the number of soldiers wounded in Iraq, as though if they don't report it, it's not happening. This is Jim Hightower saying, the White House warmongers have isolated themselves from the harsh pain of their ambitions for empire. But if the sons and daughters of Bush, Cheney, and the other warmongers were the ones coming home in boxes, then you'd see a sharp change in presidential attitude and in policy.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're in the midst of the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It is 7 minutes after the hour. And the free trade area of the Americas is front and center here now. People are heading down to Florida to speak their mind on it. Nations from all over the, from all over the Americas, the northern and southern hemisphere are heading down there. According to the official line, the free trade area of the Americas will spread freedom, liberty, and democracy to all the people of the Americas. Is that the actual case? Interesting piece here on commondreams.org, FTAA Trading Away Democracy. By Cyril Machalekcho, no factual evidence
The FTAA, there's, you know, there's no factual evidence that, that FTAA will have anything to do with freedom, liberty, or democracy for all the people of America. In fact, it's actually going to be the opposite. We're talking about undermining democracy by granting transnational corporations the ability to overturn labor laws and environmental regulations, thus stripping countries of their sovereignty and citizens of their rights to self-determination. This thing is a mess. This is one more assault on democracy, both worldwide and here in the United States. This FTAA, I lack a word for it. And I'm very pleased that we have on our program this hour one of the men who's involved in the battle against the FTAA and very knowledgeable about it, International President of the United Steelworkers of America, Leo W. Girard, the son of a union miner who started working at Inco's nickel smelter in Sudbury, Ohio, or Ontario, rather, at the age of 18, and inspired by a lifelong commitment to economic and social justice, Leo W. Girard rose through the ranks of the United Steelworkers of America to be appointed the union's seventh international president on February 28th of 2001. He's also the second Canadian to occupy that union's highest office. Mr. Girard, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you for the elaborate introduction. I'm happy to be here.
Well, you've done a lot of good work for a lot of good years, and you deserve the acknowledgement of it. Let's talk about FTAA. You're getting ready to head down to Florida, aren't you?
Well, the FTAA, I guess the sort of the most simple way for me to explain it is in the height of the steroid controversy, people should be able to get this real clear. This is NAFTA on steroids.
Right.
This is NAFTA with massive injectives of steroids. This has nothing to do with trade. We got to make sure that that's all well and good understood. These are investment agreements.
Yeah.
These are investments that are meant to create the environment for multinational corporations and global financiers to be able to put their investment where they think they can have the most highest degree of exploitation of workers and the least interference with their Rambo-style capitalist views about how to run an economy. No intervention with workers' rights, no intervention with environment or environmental rights. If they want access to raw resources, get them as cheap as they can. If you can't afford to have water but they control water, that's too bad. These aren't agreements about raising anyone's living standards. These aren't agreements about rising anyone's boats. These are agreements about sinking boats and depressing living standards. And I think people are starting to get that. People are starting to see in America that we're losing our middle class. We're losing our industrial base. For the Steelworkers Union, this is not a fight with Brazilian workers or Mexican workers or workers from Chile or any of that. What this is a fight against a system that wants to exploit all of us. In fact, it's important to Brazilian workers and to Chilean workers and to Mexican workers that we win this battle, because if not as low as their living standards are, they'll never get the chance to raise it. We need to change the way we talk about trade and trade agreements. So we're here. We're going to have close to 2,000 of our members here with us. We're doing educationals. We're doing training programs. We're also going to the streets to make sure that everyone knows our views.
That's marvelous. You know, it was back in 1784 that Tench Cox pushed through the Continental Congress the first U.S. tariff laws that protected domestic industries. And you know, there's a long history in the United States of saying, yes, trade is appropriate and good when it benefits both parties, when it benefits the workers, when it benefits the industry, when it benefits the nation on both ends, you know, when there's benefits all the way around. But increasingly, particularly since the Reagan era, we've seen this rise of this so-called conservative agenda, which is really the corporatist agenda, this new royalty, this new aristocracy taking over America. NAFTA, of course, they said, was going to create a lot of new jobs. You said this program is NAFTA on steroids. Give our listeners a recap of what has happened under NAFTA.
Well, under NAFTA, all three countries, Canada, the United States, and Mexico, in all three countries, workers have become worse off. Right across the board. In all three countries, workers have had a declining standard of living. Obviously, Mexico and Mexican workers, who we were told would reap the benefit, we were told that they'd have a rising standard of living, and for border states and border communities that would stop the flow of illegal immigration. Well, the reality was that within about 18 months to 2 years of NAFTA, Mexico devalued the peso, Mexico's currency went into the tank, and the since then, the living standards of Mexicans are now actually worse off than they were prior to NAFTA. Mexican workers are, in fact, I've seen it, I've been there several times. They're working in the newest, most sophisticated, modern, high-technology facilities, whether you're working for Ford or whether you're working for Sony or whether you're working for Motorola, any sort of North American name brand company. You're working in those factories. They're all new with the most modern technology with the highest degree of productivity. When you go and see where the worker goes after work, many of them are living in the shipping crates that the raw materials came in, or the shipping crates that they're shipping their products in. They can't afford to buy what they produce. Many of them live in literally tar paper huts with open sewage running in a ditch beside them, cooking their meals in an open fire. I mean, this is barbaric. And I think it's unless an American has actually gone to see it, it's hard to imagine. I've gone to see it. I've gone to see it several times. And this is not about trade. And in that environment, I think since NAFTA, we've lost 5 million industrial jobs. We've lost 3 million industrial jobs since Bush came in. Bush has negotiated more unilateral trade agreements with different countries. Just recently did Singapore and Chile. Mm-hmm. And in that 2.5 years since roughly the inauguration, we've lost close to 3 million industrial jobs. The thing with NAFTA, as bad as it was, the global financiers have found another secure haven, the marriage of capitalism and communism in China. As low as standards are in Mexico, they weren't low enough for most global corporations, and they took off to China. Mexico lost 1,800 factories in the last 18 months. It's 100 factories a month left the maquilas for China. So that NAFTA, as bad as it's been for American workers, have given nothing to Mexican workers. And on top of that, now you've got CAFTA for the textile industry in Central America, where we can document day in, day out the exploitation of young men and women in textile factories. And we've got the move south into South America with FTAA, where hopefully the Brazilian government, who want to build a different model of trade, one that's built on rising living standards. I don't purport to be an expert on the European Union, but if you look at what's going on in the building of a European trading bloc, you can't get access to the European Union if you're a European company unless you meet certain threshold levels on the environment, certain threshold levels on social infrastructure, certain threshold levels on standard of living and on wages, so that the theory is that you get in when you can contribute by purchasing products in which you can make them. Whereas in the North American hemisphere, we're going the exact opposite way. We're creating exploitation zones.
Yeah, it's just absolutely, it's the race to the bottom. It's the lowest common denominator. And it's not only an assault on the individuals. By stripping people of the power to organize, by stripping people of the middle class, by eviscerating the middle class, we're actually destroying the institutions of democracy itself by doing this.
Look at
we're speaking with... We're speaking with Leo W. Girard, International President of the United Steelworkers of America. It's 17 minutes after the hour on the Tom Hartman program here on the IE America Radio Network. Mr. Girard, what... Oh, and we have a caller on the line. Do you mind taking a couple of calls?
Sure, I don't mind at all, no.
Great. We've got Jim in Elkhart, Indiana today. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Thanks for your show, Tom.
You're welcome.
I've got three short questions. Number one, has George W. opened up more trade with Mexico since he got in office? And I heard Robert Rubin on the radio yesterday saying that lots and tons of jobs have been created since NAFTA. And number three, how much more of this are we going to take before we descend on Washington and drag that illegitimate president out of the White House. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, let me, Jim, thanks for the questions.
Let me quickly try to respond.
Yeah, we've got about a minute and a half here sure. on this break.
I think we'll have a tremendous opportunity a little less than a year from now to make that position very clear. Our union is supporting Dick Gephardt because Dick has been with the right people on trade for his whole career.
Yeah.
With regards to Rubin saying that we've created jobs, I suspect we have. I know one guy who's got four of them. And the four jobs he's got, are all lower than minimum wage, no benefits, all part time.
That's right.
And when he adds them up, he makes a hell of a lot less than he made when he had a good industrial manufacturing job. And Bush has signed more unilateral trade agreements than even Clinton has on a per capita basis for the number of days he's been in office.
Yeah. It's really mind-boggling. More than 765,000 jobs have disappeared as a result of the NAFTA trade agreement. From global and now global corporate interests are working to expand NAFTA to 34 countries in North, Central, South America, and the Caribbean. This is from the USWA website. A great website you have, by the way,
www.uswa.org,
United Steelworkers of America. We're speaking with Leo W. Gerard. Mr. Gerard, we have to take a commercial break, but if you can stick around for a couple of minutes.
Sure, I got about 5 or 10 more minutes.
Great. Okay. Super. I'd like to get into what can we do about this? What are people doing? What actions can individuals take short of going to Florida? I mean, certainly people doing that too. Let's get into that right after the break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
This is incredible. People everywhere are discovering they have 24 hours to live. With one pill a day, that's 24 hours to live without frequent heartburn. Yes, it's possible with Prilosec OTC. One pill a day can relieve heartburn for 24 hours. Holy moly, you could have zero heartburn. So, folks, get out there, because without frequent heartburn, you could have 24 hours to live it up.
One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days for frequent heartburn.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take a Leave Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes...
Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Last evening sky, all the birds are leaving.
Welcome back to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. We have on our program today as a guest Leo W. Girard, International President of the United Steelworkers of America. We're talking about the Free Trade Area of the Americas, the FTAA, and the big action that's happening in Florida on this. Mr. Girard, before we get to my question about what can people do about it, Dean in Santa Fe had just called in. He has a quick question. Dean, if you can make it fast, we've only got about 4 minutes in this segment, and Mr. Girard has to go at the bottom of the hour. So, Dean in Santa Fe, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
I was surprised to hear Mr. Girard say that they had come out in support of Gephardt. Just from looking at the different candidates, I would say Kucinich should be a much better one for a union and in any concerns about NAFTA. He's the one that, for one thing, he's a union member. I don't know if anybody else, even in Congress, is a union member. But
Dean, I appreciate the question. Dean, thanks for the call, and I appreciate the question, but I don't want to get into electoral politics on this. I want to stay on FTAA. Mr. Girard, what can people do about this? What can we do? What can the average person do to stop FTAA?
I think that the average person needs to simply get informed and speak out. They need to contact any elected official. And I think one of the things we've got to do is we've got to build and maintain and move a grassroots movement. The average American that is informed knows that this trading regime is bad for them. It's bad for their kids. It's bad for the future. It's bad for the environment. It's bad for the next generation of kids.
But it's good for the corporations. I mean, they're making a pile of money.
Corporations are being able to shop around the world to find the place that has the lowest labor, the least environmental requirements, and the least intrusion in their Rambo-style capitalist way of doing business. And in the long run, we're going down to the lowest common denominator. Look at what made America great and what made America strong and what made America the place that people wanted to come to after the wars and looking at the future was they believed, first of all, that it was a democracy where you could rise through and lift yourself up out of poverty.
Yes.
But we've now got, in the last years, we've had 11 years of record trade deficits in a row. We've had in the last 2 years with this administration two consecutive years of falling average income. We've had 2 years of people in higher and higher numbers falling into poverty or being pushed into poverty is a better way. We've had a growing number of people who have lost their health care. We had 79 million people last year in America who went at least 3 months during the year without health care. We've got corporation after corporation telling people, give up your health care, give up your pensions, or we're going to Mexico, we're going to China, we're going somewhere.
Yeah.
And if this is the way the conservatives and the right wing and the sort of global financiers, if this is how they measure success, I hate like heck to see how they measure failure.
And, yeah.
These are real numbers. These are numbers that when someone takes a very little bit of time to dig into the truth will set them free. And this is not about free trade. This is about managed trade being managed for global corporations and global financiers at the expense of workers national sovereignty and the environment in every nation that's a part of this deal. This is the rich getting richer in poor countries, the richer countries getting richer, and poor people in poor countries getting poorer.
Right, and then the corporations may... Franklin Roosevelt said, true individual freedom cannot exist without economic security and independence. People who are hungry and out of a job are the stuff of which dictatorships are made. And FTAA and these sorts of programs are just absolutely anti-democratic, threatening to destroy democracy all across, you know, across the world with WTO.
We work to try and save the steel industry that has been ravaged by illegal trade.
Yeah.
We followed every rule that had been put in place by America's legislators. Because we followed those rules, it took us 2 years to prove our case. After we proved our case, the WTO said that we were preemptive, we were too late, and so they ruled against us. So this is a circumstance of America following its rules and some secret third party telling us that our sovereignty didn't matter.
Right. Mr. Girard, thank you so much for being on the program today. I appreciate it. Leo Girard, International President, United Steelworkers of America.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The octopus is well known for its 8 arms, and now it's drawing more attention for the extent of its intelligence. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have long assumed that animals that are very different from human beings are not likely to show high levels of intelligence, but they're finding that the octopus has a pretty good head on its many shoulders. Jennifer Mather is a comparative psychologist at the University of Lethbridge in Alberta, Canada. She and other scientists studied the octopus to learn more about the nature of intelligence in the animal world. Mather says many scientists have been surprised to find that octopuses can find their way through mazes and solve other problems.
They're also good at very simple manipulation things, like taking the lid off a jar because there's a crab hiding inside the jar and they want to get at it. And that kind of thing has been suggested to be intelligence as well.
Mather suspects the octopus might be able to recognize individual people and maybe even hold a grudge. She recalls a time when she saw an octopus in a laboratory opening the lid of its tank, possibly trying to escape.
So I took my hand and I banged hard on the lid and it came down and knocked the octopus back into its tank. And I came back the next day, sat down on the stool. The octopus lifted the lid just far enough, aimed the siphon, and jetted a jet of water at me. And I thought, he's out to get me now. He knows I did it, and he's going to get me when I come back. And in fact, the animal repeated that several times. So that octopus probably figured out that I was bad trouble for it, and it was going to be bad trouble for me.
The octopus is a mollusk, which makes it related to clams, snails, and oysters. Mather says the brain power of the octopus shows that advanced intelligence can evolve in animals that are very different from human beings. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylor Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hello, Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
the best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Distant planets, have your faith in the ever after. While each of us holds inside the map to the labyrinth, heaven's here on earth.
Speaking from behind the good old working-class stainless steel microphone, high up in the Green Mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back. A new World Bank study suggests, this from a Miami Herald article over this this previous week, FTAA agreement would bring more poverty. A World Bank study suggests that unless rules for the proposed free trade area of the Americas are radically changed, Latin America and the Caribbean will continue to suffer from the growing poverty and inequality that plague the region. This is the World Bank. This is the institution that has in many ways led the charge of the corporatization of the planet. By the way, Dean, I do appreciate your calling and wanting to get into it with Leo about Gephardt versus Kucinich and all that, but I knew that I only had 3 minutes with him on the show. He had to go. He's getting ready to go down to Florida and stuff. And I really did want to wrap this thing up on FTAA. If you want to talk about electoral politics, feel free to call back. But it's in fact, Dean, if you're on the just as I was saying that, Shar in Detroit must have been typing that in, because here it shows that you're on the phone. Hey, Dean, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. Sorry about that. I guess I started off and made it sound like I was getting into electoral politics more than I intended. Mainly the reason I brought up Kucinich was I wanted to ask how he felt about the idea of just getting out of NAFTA entirely and the WTO, which was one of the things Kucinich has said he would do. It seems like with the way things are going with NAFTA, that may be the only. Because as Kucinich has pointed out in some of the debates, you can't change it the way it's set up. We've either got to just get out of it, or we're stuck in it, basically, because there's no way of a member bringing about change, apparently, in the organization.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, in fact, I've often said that one of the great blessings of the George W. Bush administration is that George has taught us, and he taught us right from the get-go, we don't need those thinking treaties. We can walk away from the Kyoto Accords. We can walk away from the disarmament treaties. We can walk away from environmental treaties. We could, and the truth is, we can walk away from GATT, NAFTA, and WTO, and FTAA. It's just going to take a president and a Congress that have the courage to do that, which clearly, and not just the courage to do that, that are not so connected to the corporate paymasters that they're able to do it. And I admire Dennis Kucinich for coming out and saying that one of the first things he would do would be to walk away from those treaties or disconnect us from them. And I hope more of our candidates start speaking out in those directions. I believe that Dick Gephardt has said the same thing. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I wasn't lucky enough to hear the whole conversation with Mr. Gerard. I just got in the car a little bit before that. I don't know if he had addressed that question about getting out of the agreements entirely. Did he?
No, he didn't.
Discuss?
No, we were talking. Basically, what he was saying is that this FTAA agreement, which is going to be debated this week in Miami, and everybody's heading down there, now the activists and the corporatists. This agreement is really another step. And now I'm not using his words, his language. I'm using mine, but this was the message I think he was communicating as well. This is another step in the elite
aristocratic take. There's a new aristocracy in America. It's the aristocracy of the corporations and this elite takeover of the United States of America, and not just of the United States, but of the governments of the world. That we thought we had all these democracies. We thought we had all these nations that operated on democratic principles where they were responsive to their people. And if their people said, hey, we want to have dolphin-free tuna, you're going to have dolphin-free tuna. And then under NAFTA, the Mexico comes along and sues and says, you can't have that law. And so we had to do away with the law. Now you can have kind of voluntary dolphin-free, dolphin-safe tuna, but you can't have it mandated by law anymore because that's against the law. It's against NAFTA. And the same thing with WTO and this MTBE thing and all this stuff. And so basically we were both just ranting about how this is devastating the democratic institutions. It's devastating the middle class. It's not creating jobs. It's creating a race to the bottom. And it's enriching to the tune of billions. The small handful, really. I mean, we're talking a few hundred, at the most, 1,000, or maybe a few thousand, but I doubt it's more than I doubt it's even 1,000. A few hundred of the world's largest corporations, and that's what this is all about. They are the new kingdoms. This is the new empire. They are the new rulers of the world. And it's not what our founders had in mind. It's not what you would call democracy. It is absolutely anti-democracy. So that was the rant.
Yeah, well, I agree completely with all that.
So what are you going to do about it, Dean?
I don't know. One of the things that, I mean, back to electoral politics, if it falls into that, that I have decided that I've got to try to do myself is I'm doing all I can to try to see that Kucinich's platform and ideas get out there, because he seems to be straight down the line on a lot of stuff to in some ways counter what's going on.
I was going to say he's a good guy with good ideas, and I agree with him on virtually all his points. However, I think that any of us who think that the president of the United States is where it begins and ends make a terrible mistake. There's more power in the House and Senate than there is in the executive branch.
Yeah, and he's in the House, and he's been doing a real good job there. I'd hate to see him lose that in the process of this election. Yeah. I don't know.
But I mean, you need to be working in Santa Fe, just like I need to be working here in Vermont. Bernie Sanders, our congressman here, he throws his fundraisers where you show up and you can donate $25 and have apple cider and donuts.
Yeah, there was one yesterday I went to.
In Santa Fe?
Yeah, right.
For a local theater.
It was a Kucinich thing.
What I'm saying is that's all well and good, but we have to be very careful that we don't get blinded into thinking that the president is what it's all about, because the president is not what it's all about.
Yeah, I agree completely with that. Anytime you think that just doing an election and getting the right guy in, that's going to take care of everything, we've had that problem for obviously too long now. It really is. Each individual now has got to do what they've got to do and stand up and take notice.
We need to get at the grassroots. We need to be working aggressively daily to get local officials elected who are of the same mind as we, to get state officials elected who are of the same mind, to get our federal, our Congress people and our senators elected who are of the same mind, and then in the process also be working on the presidential campaign. But it's like the infotainment thing on TV that Armin called about earlier. It's so easy to get into, it's like the Miss America pageant, it's a beauty. Yeah, who's going to be the best candidate? Well, this one and this one and this one. And at the end of the day, Dennis Kucinich could be elected president tomorrow morning, and if he had to deal with the same House and Senate that we have right now, he would probably not be able to do very much at all. And although Bush has figured out a whole lot of very innovative ways to get around things with executive orders, frankly, I think that if Bush were a Democrat, if there was a Democrat in power trying to pull these same stunts in a Republican House and Senate, that they would have stopped most of them. So it's just it can't just be the presidency. It has to be at all levels. We need to be working on these things. This is one of the areas, frankly, where I see that institution which is working most aggressively in these areas is the Greens at the local level. And I hope to see, the Democratic Party, and here in Vermont, it's called the Progressive Party, getting more and more active, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Dean, thanks for the call. I appreciate your calling in and your calling back. By coincidence, as I was apologizing to you. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. We've got a company now suing the Bolivian government, Bechtel, for $25 million after they tried to privatize the Bolivian water supply and then got run out of town. And this kind of thing, I mean, you know, this is a small hassle for Bechtel under FTAA. This is going to be easy street. This is incredible. Tim in Connecticut has some thoughts on this. Hey, Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, hi, Tom. But, you know, I hate to sound like a broken record every time I call these shows. Dennis Kucinich has got the message, but not the final solution. If he unfortunately won't win and they have the Democrats have a candidate who supports these kinds of measures, you know, on the presidential ticket, you know, let's all, you know, cave in on these kinds of issues? Absolutely not. I mean, I want Bush out as quickly as possible, but I'm not going to settle for a Democrat that has supported these kinds of NAFTA agreements. And that's why, you know, I really left the Democratic Party and Clinton and Gore before. I mean, these are the kinds of one-issue things that I think a lot of people are saying enough is enough. And that's why, you know, so many of us at Greens are just, you know, saying, you know, please don't tell us and Ralph Nader to go away because, you know, this is life or death to us.
Yeah, well, I'm not, but I'm also saying that I think that anybody who is waiting for the perfect candidate, the first perfect politician, the perfect spouse, the perfect friend, the perfect job is doomed, if that's their criteria.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, and that's why I think even the presidential race is not so much about who's going to win or lose and the nominations. It's building a movement of people that, you know, even address these issues. I'm not really convinced right now that I can affect a Howard Dean or a Wes Clark on these kinds of issues. And if they don't feel the pressure from us, I think that they're still going to go back to the center in the long run and cave into these large corporations. That's where they're starting to look for the money now.
I think you may be surprised, but I hope you may be surprised.
I hope so, too. And, I mean, optimistically, you know, as someone who's out there saying that the Greens are going to run a presidential candidate, our goal is to, you know, defeat Bush, but, you know, if these candidates don't take a definitive stand like Kucinich has taken on, you know, getting out of these kinds of agreements, and let alone things like single payer and everything else, you know, what other alternative do we have to really affect people? And I think that
the other alternative that we have, Tim, is incrementalism. We take one step at a time. We get somebody in who isn't perfect right across the board, who we have strong disagreements with in some areas, and yet who is less destructive to democracy, who isn't an autocrat like George W. Bush, who doesn't want to turn us back to the Gilded Age, and we take whatever benefits, whatever victories we can, and we keep on working. That's
ready and willing. Sign us up for the coalition of that, but I don't hear that in the offering, you know, right now. I mean, the people out here are ready. You ready to sign up for that coalition that's willing to do that? But you know, I see you know, hunt down and destroy the Greens of the problem, and you know, meanwhile, thousands of people are going to be in the streets of Miami, and you know, I want the leading candidates. Stuff, not just Dennis, you know, who I respect a lot, to be started addressing these issues and say concretely it's going to happen. Clinton and Gore did so much damage, and I don't know how these Democrats, you know, are going to try to appeal to that redneck vote and try to get these people back. I mean, that's the kind of issue that, you know, that Dean should be talking about as far as getting the Southern people who have lost their jobs to these kinds of issues back on their side. But I don't really see it at this point, Tom.
I agree with you, Tim, that these things have to be done. I also think that it's a long way till November, and if, for example, Dean becomes president, or one of the, or Gephardt or Kerry, those three being the most likely, I think that there is great potential still for change within the Democratic Party if people like you and me will participate in the process and help make that change happen.
Well, I've given up on the Democratic
if we stand on the outside, Tim, I think we can be both. I can be active with the progressives here in Vermont, and I can also be active with the Democratic Party. Neither one is an exclusive club. Anyhow, I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling. And Terry in California has been patiently waiting. Terry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello again, Tom.
Hey, Terry.
I kind of have to take exception with you when you said that the president's not the end all. And the reason is, coincidentally, yesterday I watched a three-hour presentation on that CNN put on, a special presentation about JFK. And they were using a lot of tapes that had never been played before that he had done or he had made when he was in the Oval Office, and they were autobiographical. Mm-hmm. And he made a comment in one of them there. He said he thought at the time that he was a senator that the power laid in the legislative branch, that the Senate was one of the higher places where the more power resided. But he said since being in the presidency, he discerned that it wasn't true, that the presidency really was more powerful, especially in foreign matters of foreign state. So I just kind of wanted to toss that out. And
yeah, although there is still a system of checks and balances. And the reality is that when you look at presidents who are facing hostile House and Senates, particularly both, they really tend to get very little done. Whereas when you have a president who has, where you have all three, you have the House, the Senate, and the presidency all in the hands of one party, and now, of course, they're trying to take the judiciary as well, then it becomes a much different and much more dangerous situation, a much more potentially autocratic situation. But, you know, I'm not saying that the president doesn't have power, but what I am saying is that, for example, the president does not have the power to appropriate funds. The president does not have the power to declare war. There are certain powers that are held by the Congress. The president has the power of the bully pulpit, and the president has the power in some regards to define foreign policy. But it's not the be-all and end-all. The danger that I'm concerned about is that people are only focusing on the presidency. We have to get active in our local races as well. Terry, thanks for the call and your comment. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con in conservatives. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1. $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27. $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15. $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwives.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
Ah! For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Got to go back. We got to go back. Got to go back. Got to go back. For the healing. Go on with the dreamer.
And welcome back to Talk Radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman. Let's not let this thing slide under the radar screen, this FTAA. Just this summer, reading from this FTAA Trading Away Democracy article on CommonDreams.org, just this summer, Canadian mining company Glamis filed notice of intent that it will bring a $50 million claim against the United States for actions taken by California to protect the environment and indigenous communities from the harmful impact of open-pit mining. Its venue? A closed-door arbitration tribunal with no public access or oversight, and California's Attorney General will not even have an official role in the case. This is under NAFTA, and now we want to extend it to 34 countries. This is an all-out, full-press assault on democracy by a small handful of the world's largest corporations. Steve in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, thanks, Tom, for taking my call. I'm as concerned as you are about what they name free trade. The thing that brought me around to responding is, you know, Tom, I'm really tired of being held hostage by the Democratic Party. I do realize, and I agree with you, that we've got to do something to get Bush out, period. But the compromise, I'm always having to compromise with the Democratic Party. I got to vote for whoever they give me to get rid of Bush. But yet, you know, the compromises are almost as bad as Bush is going to be.
You know, Steve, Pat Robertson felt the exact same way in 1980. And you know what he did about it?
What's that?
He took over the Republican Party.
That's true.
Why don't you take over the Democratic Party?
Well, I don't have the power to. I would love to see Kucinich in office. But
See, it happens from the bottom up. It doesn't happen from the top down. Pat Robertson was not a major contender. He simply had a lot of people listening to him and other interest groups. I mean, basically they pulled together a coalition of interest groups. I think it's still the problem is that proportional representation wasn't invented until 1841. John Stuart Mill came up with it. We don't have instant runoff voting, so we're stuck with a two-party system. If we've got the Democrats, I say let's take them over. Let's infiltrate them and take them over. That's my best shot at it. Steve, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Sorry, we're up against the end of the program here. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, the pill that will help you escape the matrix.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An Arab television network broadcast a purported audio tape by fugitive dictator Saddam Hussein on Sunday, exhorting Iraqis to wage holy war against occupying forces and warning of more deaths for U.S.-led troops. In the northern city of Mosul, U.S. soldiers retrieved wreckage and bodies after two Black Hawk helicopters collided and crashed under fire on Sunday, killing 17 soldiers in the bloodiest single incident for U.S. forces since they invaded Iraq. Another five U.S. soldiers were wounded in Mosul on Sunday when a roadside bomb was detonated as their convoy passed. The U.S. military fired a satellite-guided missile on Sunday for the first time since major combat was declared over on May 1st, targeting an island in a river in northern Iraq where U.S. officers said guerrillas had set up a training camp. Turkish officials were investigating claims that the Al-Qaeda terrorist network was responsible for the car bombings that devastated two Istanbul synagogues and killed 23 people, the prime minister said early Monday. Two Arabic language newspapers received separate statements Sunday claiming Osama bin Laden's group was responsible for the bombings, which Turkish officials said were likely the work of suicide bombers who detonated explosives in pickup trucks. There was no way to independently confirm the authenticity of the claims. Louisiana Governor-elect Kathleen Blanco started piecing together a new administration on Sunday that will return Democrats to control of Louisiana government after 8 years of Republican rule. Blanco, the state's Democratic lieutenant governor, defeated conservative Indian American Bobby Jindal with 52% of the vote in a runoff election Saturday that dashed the Republican Party's hopes for a sweep of the Deep South. The win marks the first time a Democrat has been elected Louisiana governor since Governor Mike Foster was elected 8 years ago. More IE America news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had. And I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK. 1-800-NAT-PARK. There's just too much to lose.
A medieval marquee has been set up in front of Buckingham Palace to welcome George W. Bush to London, and tourists call it a real eyesore. The two-domed tent made of wood, poles, and canvas took 3 days to erect, according to a policeman outside the palace. Canopy cupolas reminiscent of jousting tournaments and chivalrous knights top the platform, which has the royal coat of arms squashed between two emblems of the U.S. President's seal. Tourists visiting the palace were unanimous in their dislike of what they saw. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Where's George? Remember him? Mr. Smoke 'em Out, Mr. Bring 'em On, Mr. Top Gun, who pulled that stunt landing on the aircraft carrier, strutting for the cameras under a White House banner declaring, "Mission accomplished." But now that nearly twice as many soldiers have died in Iraq after they raised that banner than before it, and with coffins of our dead troops still coming home almost daily, where's the president who was so visible when sending troops off to war? The hard job is not sending them off, but seeing the boxes come home. Where's George in this hour of our national need? Bush has not attended the funeral of any American soldier killed in action in his war. We recently saw a photo op of him hugging a woman who had lost her house in the California wildfires, but he's simply been AWOL when it comes to appearing at the funerals of those shipped home from Iraq. His political henchmen say they don't want George to get mired down in the daily body counts. Even when 15 Americans died in a Chinook helicopter that was recently shot down in Iraq, not a peep from George. He stayed way out of sight at his ranchette in Crawford, Texas. The White House political Machiavellians think that if there's no presidential focus on the deadly price of the Iraqi occupation, the public won't notice that things are going very badly over there. Indeed, the Pentagon has even barred the media from covering the arrival of the coffins at the air base in Dover, Delaware. And the Pentagon also has stopped reporting the number of soldiers wounded in Iraq, as though if they don't report it, it's not happening. This is Jim Hightower saying, the White House warmongers have isolated themselves from the harsh pain of their ambitions for empire. But if the sons and daughters of Bush, Cheney, and the other warmongers were the ones coming home in boxes, then you'd see a sharp change in presidential attitude and in policy.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Welcome back, friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast. If the White House
Well, here's this larger question, and I'm really this is a very interesting thing. We have a situation now where traditionally, as the president goes, so goes America in terms of world opinion. In other words, if American foreign policy and Americans are thought well of, the president is thought well of, and if American foreign policy, like during the Vietnam War, is thought poorly of, the president is thought poorly of. I remember during the Vietnam War traveling outside the United States and people, you know, there was broad support, at least in the early years, and there was certainly around the world a perception of support in the United States for the Vietnam War. And people were upset with our president and with us. But now, I find this fascinating. I spoke at Oxford University last year. And just a few weeks ago, I spoke at a conference in Germany. And in both cases, I was welcomed, embraced as an American. And people could, they were falling all over themselves to tell me how horrified they were by our president. In other words, we love and respect you and your country. Yeah, there's problems and warts here and there and all that kind of thing. But, you know, but that guy you've got running the show there? You know, and of course, in the UK, they've actually seen Greg Palast's documentary for the BBC, which shows that George Bush did not win Florida, but it was stolen by Catherine Harris, illegally bumping 90,000 African-Americans off the voting rolls before the election. And many people around the world have seen Unprecedented, the new video. It's on DVD now. You can buy it on Amazon and on the website. I think it's unprecedented.org is the website, which documents how all this happened. Has a good interview with Greg. And it has an interview with me in it as well. Shameless plug department here. But it's excellent. And so now we have the situation where all around the world, people are going out of their way to differentiate between the president of the United States and the people and the nation of the United States. I've been alive 5 decades. I've been around the world many, many times. I've been traveling internationally for at least 30 years. I've lived overseas. I've lived or worked on four of the planet's 5 continents. And in fact, last year had hoped to make it to Antarctica. It's still one of the things that we're going to work on one of these days. But anyhow, the point is that we basically only have one ally in the world. I mean, you know, one country who, you know, one major, taken seriously in the world stage, one country where its leader is saying, yeah, America, and yeah, George. Mr. Howard in Australia is backpedaling. We see Mr. Putin is taking Russia in interesting directions. Time will tell. Is this a necessary blip in the road to democracy, or is this a reversion to something more dangerous? I'll be there in April. I'm speaking at a university in Russia in April. So it'll be interesting to see what happens between now and then. Is the White House in painting Britain as its closest ally? Doing something that just, you know, flies in the face of A, reality, or B, British public opinion, or for that matter, American public opinion. Has Bush's visit to Great Britain already turned into a fiasco? Is this president that weak internationally? Is Tony Blair going to drop George Bush after this? Listen to just some of the details of this. Some of the White House demands to Downing Street. Downing Street, you know, of course, number 11 Downing Street is where the Prime Minister's office is. So here we say, it's the White House there. They say it's Downing Street. Okay, so our demands, the White House demands to Downing Street. We demanded a shoot-to-kill ability. We wanted to bring over a bunch of Secret Service agents and snipers traveling with the president in England, in Britain, And we wanted them to have diplomatic immunity so that if they shot somebody and killed somebody in England, with or without cause, no matter what, they could not be tried under English law. You know about diplomatic immunity. It's the biggest problem for it, I suppose, in the United States is all these guys in New York City with the diplomatic license plates who never pay their parking tickets. But diplomatic immunity is serious stuff. And the Bush administration went to the British Home Secretary, David Blunkett, and said, we want our Secret Service agents to be able to carry high-powered rifles and scopes and sniper stuff and to each individual one have diplomatic immunity so that if we kill anybody, nobody will be held accountable. And David Blunkett said, forget it. Anyone in Bush's entourage who kills on British soil will face British courts just like anyone else there. Well, that did not make the White House happy. So then the White House said the tube network, the subways that go all over underneath England. Of course, you know, you've got to realize, George started with this thing of, when he was governor of Texas, of creating free speech zones, of violating the First Amendment of the United States and herding protesters into cages. And he's carried this on as president. He's succeeded in 3 years of completely insulating himself, in large part, from any kind of protest, except for that one time when he spoke before the Australian Parliament. And now he's decided he's not going to speak before the British Parliament, because he's afraid he'll get heckled. Our chicken hawk president. And so they said, shut down the tube. Shut down the underground, the subways under London, because a terrorist could plant a bomb under wherever the president is visiting. The British said, give us a break. And the list goes on and on. It's just fascinating what has happened here. This thing was set up a year ago, by Karl Rove as a photo op for the George Bush 2004 election campaign, and they're still doing everything they can to make sure that they get good photos for it, because that's what it's going to be. You mark my words. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. 1-800-825-5937. If you'd like to call, if you have thoughts on this or other topics. Jane in Nashville's on the line. Hey, Jane, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. What a pleasure to talk to you. And I have to say thank you so much for just the important work that you do. It's inspiring. It really is.
Well, thank you, Jane. It's also a lot of fun. So I appreciate your comments, but I'm having a good time here.
Oh, well, great. Keep having a good time. Pardon me for like sidestepping back to the Green Party and the kind of the Democratic Party issue. I just can't help but wonder. Okay. I can't help but wonder how much money from just potentially from the Republican war chest is making its way into the Green Party under like the guise of private citizens, and because there's not a better way to divide your enemy dividing your enemy is a good way to gain power. And that just for Democrats like myself, as much as I respect the Green Party, it's just like, God, it hurts my heart almost that they don't bring their good work in their force and work inside the Democratic Party and unite. It's just like I just want them to know that for Democrats like us, it's just like, even though I love what they're doing, I love what they say, but it's just like, God, it just hurts our hearts. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. And we know that during the 2000 election, there was a candidate out west. I believe it was Idaho. It might have been one of the other western states who came forward, a Green Party candidate who came forward and with the documentation or the audio tapes or whatever it was. It was a 2-day story in the media and then it went away. That he had been offered $100,000 by the Republicans. I believe it was the RNC, or it might have been the local Republicans, if he would run against the local Democrat in that particular race, whether it was state house or it was U.S. House of Representatives, I don't remember. And he turned down the money and outed the offer. But you have to figure that if there's one guy who's got enough integrity to walk away from $100,000, and that maybe there's another who didn't. And, you go back and you look at Nixon's dirty tricks. I mean, Nixon early on figured out that if he was going to run against Ed Muskie, that he'd lose. So he wanted to run against George McGovern. So they sent this team, you know, off to New Hampshire to get Muskie. And there's even, you know, some folks who suggest that they put, you know, LSD or something in his coffee, and he got up. And of course, we know that they forged that Canuck letter, you know, that made fun of the locals, the local French ancestry people. And Muskie ends up standing on a flatbed truck and starts, you know, falls apart and starts crying about his wife and stuff, and nobody can figure out. But it was the end of his political career, and it was organized by Nixon. And it was organized by Nixon because he didn't, you know, because divide and conquer. He didn't want Muskie to be the Democratic candidate because he knew that he would lose against him. And the Republicans have a long history of involving themselves in Democratic politics. Now, that's not to say that the Democrats haven't tried the same thing. I don't frankly know of any examples off the top of my head. But I'd be amazed if there weren't any. Lot of these people play for keeps, you know, and you hear Dick Morris these days, you know, this absolutely amoral, I'm reluctant to use the word person, talking about, who's just, you know, sucking up to whichever side's going to give him the most cash or the most publicity. And you know, he used to be inside the Democratic Party. I don't think that any of these parties are pure. That's why it's so important, Jane, that people like you, people like Tim, you know, who has his passion with the Greens, Steve, people, you know, right across the board, that we all get involved. And I agree. I think that the Greens should declare as a strategy to get more and more active on the local level, as they're doing successfully. God bless them. And that they should infiltrate and take over the Democratic Party the way that the right-wing anti-abortion and gun and whatnot folks did with the Republican Party. I think, you know, it'd be a great strategy. Jane, thanks for the call. Thanks for your kind words. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con and conservative. We'll be right back.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you. But as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief or a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Radio Network, our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics. Their number 1-800-511-MAX. 511-MACS. That's a 1-800-511-6227. Item number 9 in our list of how to reclaim democracy. America is not a kingdom and we don't elect kings. To turn back from the imperial presidency and return the executive branch to its position co-equal with the other two branches of government, we recommend disbanding the primary instrument of presidential power, the Office of Homeland Security, and requiring the president to meet weekly in open and public discussion with all members of Congress, as is done in the United Kingdom, what's called Prime Minister's Questions, and in most other modern democracies. Something I don't think this president could withstand, but would be essential, and very, very useful anyway, to restoring some semblance of democracy in America. 1-800-TALK-YES is our phone number if you have thoughts, comments, questions, criticisms, arguments. I love arguments. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and Penny in Tennessee is on the line. Hey, Penny, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom, yes, I'd just like to respond to what the lady from Nashville said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit ticked off because
okay.
I switched from the Democratic Party to the Green Party in 2000. And first of all, the Democrats won the election. They didn't lose. George
right.
Bush stole the election.
Yep.
So I don't know why a lot of Democrats continue to blame Greens for making them lose the election when they never lost. And if anyone out there, any Democrat who blames Greens for making them lose the election, if they would just read Crashing the Party by Ralph Nader,
mm-hmm.
I think...
I understand what you're saying, Penny, and the odds are that most Democrats aren't going to read Crashing the Party.
Well, they should. Yeah. And, you know, maybe they should try offering the Greens an olive branch, because I don't know of any true Democratic contenders who have come forward and offered the Greens anything. They kind of blow us off. So I don't know why they expect us to vote.
Don't you think Kucinich has?
Excuse me?
Don't you think that Dennis Kucinich has?
Yes, he certainly has, and I'm agreeing for Kucinich.
Okay.
I'm trying to actively campaign for Dennis Kucinich. I visited his headquarters in Cleveland. this past
summer.
Well,
and summer. I think also... Go ahead.
But, I mean, do you think Kucinich will win?
No, I don't think that there's a chance he'll win, unfortunately. But I think that there is a small possibility that Dean will win, and I think that one of the things that the DLC Democrats and the Terry McAuliffe DNC Democrats, the DLC Democrats being the ones that are corporate funded, the DNC, the Democratic National Committee being just the party itself, are most afraid of. The reason they're all in a tizzy is because they're afraid that Dean's going to win and he's going to fire Terry McAuliffe. Mm-hmm. And I suspect...
I think that would probably be a good thing.
frankly, I think so, and I'd like to see a shakeup within the Democratic Party, a really significant one, and one that involves a significant outreach to the Greens. And I don't know Howard Dean personally, but I live just a few blocks from where he's worked for the last 10 years, and we have friends in common, and I've watched him as the governor of the state that I live in for years, and I think he's a pretty pragmatic guy, and I'd be amazed if he becomes the candidate if he doesn't reach out to the Greens. I would just be absolutely amazed by that. And yeah, I've been seeing all the picking on him. Well, yeah, he did that deal with IBM. I remember. I was here. I lived through that. He thought it was the best thing for the state. It's not about environment or not environment. It's amazing to me.
Well, I know Greens here in the Chattanooga area who are going to the Dean meetup. So, I don't know. I think if the Democrats would reach out to the Greens, there might, be a change of attitude.
I think so. And let us.
But
both
if they play that blame, if they continue to play the blame game, I don't think they're going to get any sympathy from.
Yeah, on either end. Penny, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The octopus is well known for its 8 arms, and now it's drawing more attention for the extent of its intelligence. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have long assumed that animals that are very different from human beings are not likely to show high levels of intelligence, but they're finding that the octopus has a pretty good head on its many shoulders. Jennifer Mather is a comparative psychologist at the University of Lethbridge in Alberta, Canada. She and other scientists studied the octopus to learn more about the nature of intelligence in the animal world. Mather says many scientists have been surprised to find that octopuses can find their way through mazes and solve other problems.
They're also good at very simple manipulation things, like taking the lid off a jar because there's a crab hiding inside the jar and they want to get at it, and that kind of thing has been suggested to be intelligence as well.
Mather suspects the octopus might be able to recognize individual people and maybe even hold a grudge. She recalls a time when she saw an octopus in a laboratory opening the lid of its tank, possibly trying to escape.
So I took my hand and I banged hard on the lid, and it came down and knocked the octopus back into its tank. And I came back the next day, sat down on the stool, the octopus lifted the lid just far enough, aimed the siphon, and jetted a jet of water at me. And I thought, he's out to get me now. He knows I did it, and he's going to get me when I come back. And in fact, the animal repeated that several times. So that octopus probably figured out that I was bad trouble for it, and it was going to be bad trouble for me.
The octopus is a mollusk, which makes it related to clams, snails, and oysters. Mather says the brain power of the octopus shows that advanced intelligence can evolve in animals that are very different from human beings. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylor Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Got to go back. We got to go back. Got to go back. Got to go back. For the healing. Go on with the dreamer. All these people in the street, and the summer's almost here.
Welcome back. Well, summer's not almost here. It's we're looking out at a foot of snow here in Vermont, 8 or 9 inches. I don't know. It's a good chunk, and boy, is it beautiful. I love the change of seasons. Some of the more strange things that George Bush and company are up to, they wanted to ship in battlefield weaponry from the United States to England to use against protesters. A minigun carried on a tank, which when fired can kill dozens of people at a time. They made a serious request to the Blair government to bring these things in and have them manned by U.S. Secret Service, by U.S. military who had diplomatic immunity, so if they killed somebody, there would be no consequence. They were turned down. As a compromise, the British agreed to close off much of Whitehall. The usual practice in Britain is to use police outriders to close roads as the cavalcade passes to cause minimal disruption to traffic. In other words, you shut off one street at a time and then reopen it after the thing passes by. But Bush wanted a sterile zone with tank mounted guns and it's remarkable. I got a few more here on the list for you. Let's take a call first. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number 1-800-825-5937. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 25 minutes before the hour. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, which is 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S, and by the Organic Wine Company, which you can reach at 1-888-ECO. Wine, ECO-WINE. John in Long Island has called our call-in line, 1-800-TALK. Yes, hey, John, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
How you doing, Tom?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, John?
Doing all right. I'm listening to your show on iTunes on IE America.
Great.
I listen to it every day at work. You know, I put on the background. I'm a graphic designer, so while I design, I kind of listen to your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a question for you. Recently, on the History Channel, has that documentary on the JFK. If I don't know if you've seen it up there.
The most recent one I haven't seen. I'm actually 20 minutes of the one that they made about 6 years ago.
Well,
the man killed the president, but the most recent one I haven't seen.
The reason why I bring it up for it is it's interesting how, I know you've made note of it too, how I think it was NBC or ABC canceled the whole Reagan show.
CBS.
CBS. I found it interesting how come Republicans and very neoconservatives are so, like, you can't say nothing that could hurt Reagan, but all these things coming out about JFK, he was on medications and all this, how come Democrats, in other words, like, it's okay to know that, but from the neoconservative side, you can't hear anything bad about Reagan?
There's a different mindset, John. The conservative notion of morality, and I think this is, I don't know if this is genetic and hardwired or if it's psychologically learned, but once somebody hits puberty, it's pretty much burned in, and this is the way people are. The conservative idea of morality is, what is somebody doing with somebody else? In other words, if somebody is sleeping with the wrong person or they're taking drugs in private or whatever, that is immoral in the worldview of conservatives. Liberals, by and large, look at those kind of things and say, well, you know, we all make mistakes. Those are probably really relatively small. You know, let him who is without sin throw the first stone, right? That's how liberals respond to conservative so-called morality. On the other hand, liberals have their own morality, and they're just as passionate about it as conservatives. And you know, to get into the biblical view of it, you could say that the conservative morality comes from the Ten Commandments, and the liberal morality comes from Matthew 25, which is there someone among us who is hungry? Is there someone among us who is in prison and not being cared for? Is there someone who's sick and who needs help? I mean, that is morality for the liberals. So from the liberal point of view, you know, picking on the private behavior of Kennedy or any other liberal icon, you know, FDR died with his mistress, you know, whatever. From the liberal point of view, those aren't really big crimes, so they don't get all bent out of shape about them. Whereas from the conservative worldview, if it's suggested that Reagan was less than entirely perfect and moral, then that is a big deal, and so they do get upset. That's my personal idea about what the difference is. I think that also there's you know, a very, very, very strong thought police going on in America. The critical political correctness among the right. There are organizations. There's the Center for Media, whatever it is. I used to get their newsletters. I turned them off after a while. There's a place called Conservative Alert on the web. There's a whole bunch of them on the web where there are these conservative organizations that are funded by mostly rich conservative guys who, you know, make their billions with corporations. And they get it that if they can promulgate a conservative social agenda, that will then shut down things like normal debate in universities. It will reduce our access to those institutions that generally produce a more liberal worldview, frankly. And you know, so I think that's the fight that's going on.
I just happen to find it amazing how, you know, like I said, from a liberal or from those of us who lean toward the left a little bit, from our standpoint, we're not afraid to know that Kennedy had back problems and other halitosis and all his other medical conditions, but he needs medications for it. It's okay, you know.
Or for that matter, that he was, getting it on the side. I mean,
And we all
so
know, like,
what?
You know, with Clinton and the whole Lewinsky case and everything, it's like, all right, right or wrong, it's up to you. But, you know, he did his job. Who cares?
Yeah. No pun intended. Yeah, I agree. And the reality is that most Americans, about probably 70 or 80% of Americans, would agree, would share the liberal morality worldview. That is to say, and in fact, we're seeing this played out right now with this thing with Medicare. You know, whether or not we're going to expand health care for all as America in America. Is health care, is drug coverage, I mean, they're just taking a little tiny piece of it, but it really is emblematic of a larger issue. Is health care a moral issue? Is the purpose of government as a moral function of government, as an ethical function of government, as an appropriate function of government to make sure that people have access to the basic necessities? What was once referred to as Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, the bottom half of the pyramid, the things that have to do with survival. And most Americans, 61% with regard to 61% of Americans in the most recent poll say that they want single payer national health care like they have in Canada, like they have in Germany. A lot of people are a little wary of the British system, which is quite different and doesn't work quite as well. But the Canadians and the Germans, they've got a great system. It works very well. Scandinavia and so on. And this is being played out, I think, that this idea of a larger kind of morality. But there is this little fringe group of maybe 20% of Americans who have a very narrow view of morality. And it's like this kind of paranoid and reactionary knee jerk. And they have succeeded in getting loud enough. And many of them have enough money that they have been able to do things like you say, like stopping the Reagan movie. But the bad news over the short term is that they're there, I think the good news over the long term is they're a minority voice. Most Americans recognize them as a minority voice. You know, they've taken their best shot at it, and frankly, I think the pendulum is swinging back the other way. America's moving back in a more realistic and moderate direction. Hopefully, you know, knock on wood. But I see that, you know, just the success of this program and other programs like it, it tells me that Americans are saying, hey, you know, enough already. We want some rationality again. John, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments and taking the time to call the show here and share them with us. 1-800, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Lynn in Buffalo, New York is on the line. Hey, Lynn, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Oh, hi. We're having Cheney come here today.
Oh, really? Dick or Lynn?
Dick Cheney. I guess he wanted the streets blocked off or something, and they refused to, so they have to put some kind of something around the little restaurant he's going, and that's about all he's getting.
Is he getting a free speech zone? Are there going to be protesters?
No, of course there's a free speech zone. He wanted them to be penned off, but they refused to. They're not closing any streets off, nothing. All he gets is a pen around his restaurant.
Oh, interesting. So,
and we well, you got to remember, this is a blue, very blue city. It's as blue as could be. You know, I mean, our police are not happy that they're not getting paid. Our firemen are not happy. Everybody.
Blue meaning Democrat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's solid Democrat. If you say I'm a Republican, you better run for your life in the city. But anyways, we got WGRZ, WIVB, WKBW. They were telling us that they're going to be live at the protest, so stay tuned. That's what they're saying. They didn't even mention we're going to be live at the Cheney event. They said live at the protest.
Oh, interesting. Well, that'll be a first. I mean, have you seen ever any live footage of people protesting Cheney or Bush anywhere in the United States?
No, but
in the
you
last
will today. Give it. Nobody knows. Nobody knows about this little corner of the world called Buffalo, and they don't know that we've been starved since the Reagan years because we don't. In fact, let me tell you, we have to clean our own parks. We have to oftentimes do our own streets with the snow, or Canada helps us. We have no businesses here except for what people put up. In fact, people argue whether if the people in Buffalo like refuse to spend any money outside of Buffalo because they're afraid it will sink us more. And the suburbs won't try not to spend money here because we're like all so stingy with our money because we got have nothing. We've been living with nothing for 20 years now since Reagan.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't
well,
see
this is the conservative agenda. I mean, this is their plan for the entire United States. Take us back to the days of Charles Dickens, of Victorian era economics. That was when trickle down economics reigned.
Well, there's nothing's ever going to trickle down here. Pataki makes sure we get nothing. We have to volunteer in our schools to keep them open. The security guard or crossing guards, everybody has to volunteer. This is a volunteer city because they want us to stop being the way we are, and we ain't gonna.
Yeah,
no
well, good
way.
On you, Lynn.
Even our
Lynn,
police,
let us,
they volunteer for events.
Lynn, will you do me a small favor?
Well, I'll take pictures, that's for sure.
That would be great, and if you get any good ones, feel free to put them on our message board. But I'm wondering
Let the people know it's WGRZ. WIVB and WKBW, and they have like regular screens. One of them you can watch the whole screen, like a full screen TV.
Oh, they have websites that you can see? Okay.
Yeah,
well, I'm wondering
all of them.
If you'll call our program tomorrow and let us know what kind of coverage you got for this protest, how it played out.
I'll call you during it.
I'd love to hear it. Oh, it's going to be on between noon and 3 tomorrow?
No, it's today.
Oh, it's today. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm getting off the air here in 15 minutes. I'm getting off the air in 15 minutes. So give me a call tomorrow and let me know what happened, if you would. I'd appreciate it.
All right. I'll take pictures too. I think I can send them somewhere, right?
Yeah, you can. You can post them.
I'll make them opened already.
Yeah, you can post them on our message board. You have to put them someplace on a website and then point to them. But if you have a problem, drop a note on the message board and we'll help you figure it out.
Yeah, I've only been using a computer a year. I don't know how to post nothing.
Okay, well, go to TomHartman.com and click on the link to the message board, and it's all pretty self-explanatory, and there's a bunch of people there who would be glad to help you out.
All right.
Lynn, thank you very much for the call, and I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow to find out what happened with the protest over Dick Cheney. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics and the Organic Wine Company. Please patronize our sponsors. Paul in California is on the line. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, thanks. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm a trucker, and they said Interstate 80 is closed in Wyoming due to wind and snow till tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
Anybody's listening out there? See, what I wanted to talk about was the NRA. I think the Democrats have to come up with an answer to all the NRA arguments. And the little Frenchman, LaPierre, he just hates Democrats. And the NRA magazine always has just really extreme articles that accuse liberals and Democrats of every crime under the book. And I think Democrats should be more in favor of allowing guns and less control, and they got to make that point, because he's really carrying the day, you know, among a lot of there's a lot of people that belong to the NRA.
I think Kerry's trying to move in that direction, you know, bragging about his love of going out and killing Bambi. And of course, Howard Dean has always gotten a good rating from the NRA, but that's sort of by default because he's from Vermont, and we just don't have gun crime here.
Oh, okay. Because I think that's something that Dean was talking about. Yeah, he said the Confederate flag in the back of a pickup, but I think he was talking about people that belong to the NRA, and I'm not a gun nut or anything. You know, I got 12-gauge and whatever, you know, 22, but my son is I try to talk to him, and he doesn't even want to listen about Democrats because of what the NRA says about them.
Well, tell your son that Howard Dean's got a good rating from the NRA. I mean, you know, some people hate him for that, and other people respect him, but he actually does have a very good. His position is that we've got enough federal laws, let's enforce them, number one. And number two, let states, you know, like Vermont, where we get 89,000 hunters come into the state every year. It's a major industry here, so they're not going to pass more gun laws. And we don't have gun crime. I mean, the last time somebody was shot in this state that I know of was about 3 years ago. And, you know, I mean, it just never makes the newspaper. We had a big crime here a couple of years ago. It took 2 weeks for the trial. It was in the front page of the newspaper. The guy had watered down maple syrup, 10,000 gallons of maple syrup that he was selling at wholesale. I mean, that's a big crime in this state. So Dean has always been okay with the NRA, I guess. But Mario in Racine, Wisconsin, hang on. We'll take your call right after the break. Paul, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Veronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however, each month. You'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the legal huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Sense in Broadcasting. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman, the IE America Radio Network. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and Joe McPherson in Atlanta, Georgia, and engineered by Shar Jones down in Detroit, or over in Detroit, or wherever it is there, relative to Vermont. Thank you, Shar. Thank you, Joe and Louise. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. We have a few minutes left. Mario in Racine, Wisconsin's on the line. Hey, Mario, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, thank you. And how are you today?
I am great. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I was listening to the BBC, and Alistair Sinclair has a program every morning. I think it's every morning, but maybe it's once a week, where he talks from his home in the United States. And he was talking about the fact that George Bush was surprised about by the protests overseas regarding our policy in Iraq and the war there.
Yeah, when he was in Asia, he expressed shock and
he was saying, well, of course, he also said this too. But the fact is, let's face it, you know, he lives in this wonderful little cocoon of Crawford, Texas, the White House, and then his most favorite place of all, Camp David.
Right, and he also says he doesn't read newspapers.
That's right, he doesn't read newspapers. He really doesn't watch that much TV.
Except for phone news.
Know, so no wonder the man doesn't know anything, what's going on. But also, they reported in BBC, on the BBC, that the British press went to... the prime minister said, you know, George was over here, you know, just a short time ago. I think it was last year sometime. They said, why is he coming back? And they said, well, did we invite him? And they said, the prime minister said, no, the royalty invited him. So they went to the queen and the royal family, and they said, no, we didn't invite him. The prime minister invited them.
Right. It turns out that George had invited himself, and it was planned by Karl Rove as part of a video opportunity for the 2004 election. Yeah, I heard that same report on BBC last week. In fact, I mentioned it on the program here, Mario. It's remarkable, isn't it? It's just mind-boggling. Mario, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We're up against the edge of the end of the show here. Thank you all very much for joining us today. And tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Tom Hartman. See you then.
Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
Well, the ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.